You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say a man I've come to know and admire greatly is with us. He is Joseph Connor. He is the son of Frank Connor, a man who was killed 40 years ago this month in the France's Tavern, an incident of a terrorist attack by something called the FALN. And it's back in the news because of decisions taken by President Obama that might permit one of those who has not been fully brought to justice for this attack to now be returned to meet that fate. A man, again, I greatly admire, who's lived and breathed this fight for 40 years. Joe Connor, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Happy New Year to you, sir. And I hope we can mark this anniversary with some action finally on this front. Welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks for having me, and Happy New Year to you, too.
Talk a little bit about the background to this, Joe, because it has been a long time. Remind us about the FALN and what they were up to and what they got away with.
Right. The FALN was responsible for about 130 bombs in the U.S. between 1974 and 1983. I know when people are listening to this, they're saying, wow, that happened 40 years ago. But so many of the things that are being brought back now, and my father, just as some background, was killed at France's Tavern. France's Tavern is where George Washington bid farewell to his officers at the end of the Revolutionary War. My dad was 33 years old. He was eating lunch with clients. He worked for a bank, and the FALN walked a bomb in, set it behind where he was sitting, and blew up France's. Four people were killed. Many more were intended to be killed, but the bomb was moved almost immediately before it detonated. Over time, they were arrested, the FALN members, mainly in Chicago, and sentenced to up to 70 or 80 years in prison. No one was ever convicted specifically of the France's Tavern attack because they were basically put away for life in Chicago, and the economics of law enforcement wouldn't allow them to come back to New York to face France's bombing trial. But in any event, in 1999, Bill Clinton offered clemency when Hillary was running for senator from New York. 14 of the 16 left prison. Oscar Lopez Rivera stayed in. He refused it.
We're visiting with Joseph Connor, the son of Frank Connor, one of those murdered in France's Tavern 40 years ago this month. And Joe, you were talking a little bit about what had happened to those who perpetrated these FALN attacks. What was the reason that Oscar Lopez Rivera declined to accept the clemency by Bill Clinton?
In 1999, when he was offered the clemency, he didn't give a reason. But we found out 4 years ago, I think today, which is happens to be his birthday, that he didn't accept the clemency because Carlos Torres, one of the other FALN members, was not offered clemency. And like the captain, he was going down with the ship. So fast forward to 2011, the rest of the FALN have been released, and Oscar Lopez was looking for parole then. So we went out to Terre Haute, Indiana, to the federal prison, and successfully kept him in. But he didn't leave because he was a leader of the group. And we went out there thinking we would have some clemency for him ourselves if he had fessed up or shown some remorse, but he didn't. He is not deserving of a second clemency like some people are looking for Obama to grant.
Yeah. And, you know, interestingly enough, Eric Holder was at the time that clemency was engineered by President Clinton, the deputy attorney general. He's now, of course, the outgoing attorney general, and it seems pretty clear that he'd like to clear the decks of these guys. What I'm interested in, though, is William Morales. He was the bomb maker of the FALN in these many of these attacks. What happened to him, Joe?
On what would have been my dad's 37th birthday, in July 12, 1978, Morales blew himself up, literally, in his Queens, New York bomb factory while crafting a bomb.
By accident, presumably.
Yes, presumably. He blew off all of his fingers and part of his face. He somehow survived it. He was arrested. He was sentenced to up to 89 years in New York State and federal prison. He was allowed to go to Bellevue Hospital for a prosthetic device. And while he was there, believe it or not, this man with no fingers somehow escaped. He was aided by the Marilyn Buck and that the white radical groups that are still around now, and you'll still hear the name periodically. He escaped to Mexico, where he was in a shootout with Mexican police. He and an accomplice, a Mexican cop, was killed. He was sentenced to prison. In 1988, he was, against the wishes of the Reagan administration, he was extradited to Cuba.
Not back here.
Not back here. Not back here, where he should have been to finish his sentence. He was sent to Cuba, where he's been a guest of the Castro brothers.
Which brings us up to the moment, and we're speaking with Joseph Conner, the co-author of The New Founders, a book he wrote in 2012 with Michael Duncan. You can find out more about it at thenewfounders.net. And in addition to seeing Joe's wonderful pieces at Breitbart.com and redstate.com, you can catch up with him at wewinamerica.com. So you've brought us up to the moment, really. Where are we in terms of Morales's extradition back to the United States now that President Obama has normalized relations with the Castro regime? Presumably that was part of the deal, wasn't it?
Well, Frank, you know, I've been fighting this to get Morales back since the early 1990s. He's been the face of evil for me and my family. And the State Department knows he's out there. We've been communicating with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. We've been told for all the years that because there's no communication with Cuba, he can't come back. Now there is. So we've gotten no word specifically on him. We did get some word that the Cubans wouldn't turn over Joanne Chesimard, who's a Black Liberation Army member who killed a New Jersey State trooper. But there's been no word on Morales. And my sources at the Joint Terrorism Task Force tell me that Cubans don't like Morales. He's worn out his welcome. I think there's a great chance to get him back, and he has to be part of any normalization. How can we have normalization with Cuba and not demand our fugitives be returned? Morales, Chesimard, Victor Guarena, and the rest of them. There's about 70 fugitives in Cuba. We make bad deal after bad deal in this administration, whether it's the Bo Bergdahl. But it's the same. It's the same. They're looking to just forget the getting the other side of this, and we're getting nothing in return for what we give.
So, in short, Joe Conner, that was not part of the deal that President Obama struck, and the question is now whether, especially as Congress is back in session, beginning to take a look at this whole initiative of the president's, whether this will be one of the things that is front and center. I hope it will be. It certainly, I know, will be your purpose and ours as well. Joe Conner, speaking of Oscar Lopez Rivera, there's been a recent development involving his prospects out of an unlikely place, Venezuela. Talk about that.
Lopez Rivera has been in prison for many years. He's one I was just talking about before we were able to keep him in. Now it turns out that the president of Venezuela is looking for a prisoner swap where Leopold Lopez, no relation, is a political prisoner in Venezuela that he's willing to release if the U.S. turns over Oscar Lopez Rivera to Venezuelan freedom. And this is an outrage. We're looking at these two-bit dictators now trying to usurp American justice. And it all, in my mind, stems from our communication and our normalizing relations with the Cuban dictators. Every two-bit out there is going to be telling us what to do. Look at North Korea. They do it, too.
Right. You reward bad behavior, you get more of it, I'm afraid. Joe Conner, I'm afraid we have to leave it at that. Thank you for the tremendous work you and your family have done over the past 40 years to try to ensure that your father's life and legacy are properly remembered and those responsible for terminating it prematurely are held accountable. We hope you'll keep us apprised of developments in this really important story. Next up, Harold Rode, a former senior Defense Department official, joins us. We'll be talking Turkey and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.